Welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Joe. This is a Void and Varying podcast where we look at the law and try to understand how it all works. In this episode, we'll be looking at demigod curses. Hey, what? Boop, bop, bop, boop, boop. My peeps, my boys, my gals, my everything in betweens. What's up, Mistbusters? Boop, right then. Oh, sorry. Okay, so first of all, I'll just say, sorry I'm running a little late. I had a busy life. Busy life, bad timekeeping, so we're running late. This is what happens. Sorry we're running late, I guess. But we'll get right into the question from last week. Why is that just like a default response in my brain? Get right into the question from last outing. We'll get right into that question as soon as I've stopped rambling. And then from there, we'll go right into the episode. We'll speed run this start bit. Okay, so question from the start of the end of the last week was about Backbiter, Portals, and the Pojo Show. It was all just like all of that together. And we got some responses from some wonderful people in the universe. First response was from the Demigod Pod. I'm conflicted. It has some potential, but it also has so many ramifications in the rest of the story. I was truly shocked when it happens. I feel like this is very much my take. If you listened to last episode, which you should have, why haven't you? Why have you come straight in on episode 40? There's 39 others you can listen to. I can't really remember how them go, so some of them are probably awkward, but they're all awkward. I recently found a feature on Spotify where you can click like the little picture on the side of like the play button at the top of like a page, and it will go and it will give you like little previews of all the episodes. Oh, some of the previews it's chosen are absolute class, mate. It's amazing. It's hilarious. It really shows the absolute just maddeningness that happens in these episodes sometimes. Oh, it's good. It's a good time. Anyway, if you're bored of a weekend and you have a few minutes to kill, just have a listen to that. It's quite a journey. It really is. It's a journey. I wonder what this episode's going to be. Woo! If it's this moment, hilarious. Anywho, yeah, so that's kind of my take as well, is that I just didn't see it happening. Like I said, I didn't really register that it happened in the books either. It's like it just didn't happen, you know? Like, so I was like, oh, but then so many ramifications. But then also, I realized this afterwards. There's like the sword. Is it just like opening a portal that's already there? Because he does the slashes. But when he vanishes, the slashes are still in the thing. It's confusing. And it's very new and we don't know enough about it yet. If it never comes back, I think it's bad. If it doesn't, we're fine. Anyway, we also got a couple other responses. So the damn meme page, you know? The damn meme page. That's right. The damn meme page that makes memes for this podcast and many other Percy Jackson podcasts. So if you're like, oh, I wonder what other Percy Jackson podcasts are out there that I should listen to. Because, you know, Owen's great. I definitely have the smallest, like, listenership out of all of them. But shh, Owen's great. I'm going to find other podcasts from this. Go to the damn meme page on Instagram. I don't think they Twitter anymore. Do you Twitter, Robert? Do you Twitter? Let us know. Definitely on Instagram, though. And just, like, look at the most recent ones. Scroll across and you'll find a link to the everyone's pages there. And bish bash bosh, you can find all the person. Well, not all of them, because we keep saying Robert needs to calm down on how many podcasts they create for. Like, my guy, you don't need to do every single one. I really appreciate you doing mine. It's great that you do, but like, calm down, mate. Chill out. Take a relax. You don't need to do everything. There's no one saying you have to do everything. Just do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Okay, I haven't actually stated what they said yet, have I? So, honestly, it'd be pretty funny if they kept it like the book and just didn't explain it. it never happens again. It truly never happens again in the book. And I think the way it was in the book, it was a lot more subtle. Like, there's loads of us that never realised it happened in the books. So this revelation is different, and it's so much more prominent because there is no scorpion. There's nothing. It's just, that's it. So if they don't come back to it, I think I will genuinely lose my mind over it, because I'll have to come back to it at some point, won't I? I just will. And I'll have to figure out an actual reason, because right now I'm just kind of hoping the show explains it. I'm just hoping the show adds, and then we have more data points. But if not, I'm going to have to come back to it. I'm going to have to. And I don't want to. I need more data points. They better give me more data points before I come back to it. And of course, we have a wonderful final comment was from Muses/Darian. Potentially very cool if the show actually lays down how it works. The show cut the sword, harming both mortals and mythics, and upped the focus on the portals. It was disappointing not to see that power pay off in some way. Yeah, and that's 100% it. Is suddenly the big thing about Backbiter in the books. Do we get the name of Backbiter? The big thing about Backbiter in the books is it's both metal. It's made of both steel and celestial bronze. But you don't really get the metal explanation at any point in the show. You can see the two different materials on the sword. So it's like hidden there. And it's like, at this point, it's an Easter egg for book readers because they haven't explained it. They haven't even explained celestial bronze. I think someone pointed out that they didn't even name Riptide. So there's a few things they missed, like lore-wise, but they've got more time and they can drip-feed that a bit slower. Like, they can let us know. They'll have to let us know about Celestial Bronze before Titan's Curse and the Hoover Dam scene, but that's the first point that it needs to be known that this is how it works. Before that, it's just an extra bit of lore. They don't need to tell you, so they haven't told you. Anyway, but yes, I do think the portals thing really needs to come back. And like I said, if it doesn't come back, I'm going to lose my mind. If it comes back, I will have more data points and I'm less likely to lose my mind. Because we need to know more. Rada, rada. Better this time. I waffled my G's. That was waffly, wasn't it? So we're trying, because you know, I'm sorry, I tried to be quick and I wasn't quick. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Stop doing the same thing. Do you know what I've realized I do? I think I find a bit that I think's funny in my head. And then I repeat it about 50 times until I get it right. And I leave in about 10% of it. So you still hear me repeat the same phrase over and over and over and over again. Until you go mad alongside me. And then we're there together in the deep jungle. Because we're going jungle hunting. We're gonna hunt some jungles. We're going on to burn. We're not scared. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. I guess we have to go through it. Yes, anyway. This show, the title, the curses. Demigod curses. What I mean, what we're going to look at, how we're going to do this. So, the plan is, we're going to look at what curses occur. And these are curses that demigods deal out. We're going to compare them. We're going to contrast. We're going to do some scientific compare and contrast search. We're going to try and work out how people do them. Like, looking at the different ones we can find. What are the different skills? How do we do it? Like, you know, all that stuff. And then maybe more a bit in detail on that. We'll maybe like godly parent specific, or maybe like see if we can work out what's the deal, AO. How does it all come together? So let's start the start. Right, nice. We need to look at the curses. So what curses do we have that demigods dish out during the books? Well, The big one. The big one that everyone knows is the rhyming couplets curse from the Apollo cabin. And they give this to the Ares cabin. And apparently they've done it previously. They do it in Tolo. And they've done it previously, apparently. It's the quote. Last time it took weeks for the curse to wear off. So it's like the big example. This is the one that if I went, oh, demigod curses, like 90% people will apply Apollo cabin. And then that's it. That's the only one they can think of. And the internet seems to think that it's only the Apollo cabins can do this curse thing. It's very hard to search this up on the internet. Because I was trying to find out what book it was in. I'm honest with you. I did find it was Tolo, which is useful. But searching Percy Jackson and curse, it's just Titan's curse, Titan's curse, Titan's curse, Apollo. And like, that's it. So that's all I had with. But, because I found what book it was, it went, and I went quick peeky-weeky through. And we did, in the same section of book, we get that the Ares kids curse the Apollo's campers' arrows with this quote here. Then the Ares campers call down a curse and all the Apollo kids' arrows turned to rubber. Rubber, my G. So, okay, the ability is growing. So the Apollo kids one we had, and we've kind of known it in the back of our heads for ages. We've known this can occur. But the Ares kids being able to do it. Now we got some intrigue, some fun. And to be honest, that's all I could find. Without rereading the books back to front, which I really didn't want to do this morning. Because this is an all-in-one day. We research, we record, then we edit. One day, baby. And I couldn't really find anything on the internet. So, like, I was lucky to find the Ares campers bit. So, you know, but it's growing. The ability is growing. So I have got a couple of other points that I just bring up. So there's the Percy curse to ward off evil, like the little gesture he does at Gabe that sends Gabe flying. It's not necessarily a curse in the traditional sense, but also Gabe goes flying. So swings and roundabouts? Yeah, swings and roundabouts. And then obviously, just because these are curses, these aren't demigods that are giving them, but the gods, we get some gods that give out curses. So big one, Ares and the sword. That's the huge one we didn't get in the show either. So that's going to be, I just think they're going to forget about that. It doesn't make a big impact, really. It just means that Percy has to hold up the sky. That's about it. Doesn't make a massive impact. And then you also get Apollo's flashbacks to the myths where he curses people in Toa. So, you know, we have basis in mythology for these curses. I haven't researched those myths, but like I said, all in one day thing. And then finally, you get Hera and the country pancakes that she leaves Annabeth everywhere, which I feel like is a curse. Cursed Annabeth to stand in country pancakes for the rest of the summer until she gives up. I don't know. I was going to look at that. I was also going to look at all the curses that happen when people die in, that they get given in House of Hades. All those curses that Annabeth and Percy get in Tartarus. But they're not like curses. It was just, yeah. Okay, we'll move on and then we'll come back. As I was saying, we're gonna kind of now look at the how and the why and the who and the what. We're gonna answer the questions. Then we've gathered the information. We're gonna answer the questions. So the how, to be honest, is rather unclear. They never explicitly state how. And as this is where my brain was about to go before I moved, and I thought I better split up and better do this. So we have the House of Hades things, and these are curses because they come from the curse monsters, but they're not all affecting them. There's not like they're like, curse you, or like a curse you, Perry the Platypus sort of vibe. Like, that's the vibe they give.
Curse you, Perry the Platypus! Wait, is that love handle?
You snuck your way right into my heart.
You know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's the vibe those curses are. They're more like, oh, shucks. Oh, darn it. Oh, I hope this happens to you. But then the curses we get from the Apollo and Ares kids, they are more tangible. They're more magical. And I think that's the key thing. Like, it doesn't really state how in the text how a curse becomes a curse. And I could come up with something, but it would just be words, or maybe they speak in Greek. That's a good one, though, is they start to speak in Greek, and then that links to Egyptian magic, which is useful in this scenario. And, like, also Hecate magic, and, like, that, it all links, kind of. So I think one of the key things you can just assume, rather big assumption that you can assume well, is that they have to speak in Greek for this to happen, or Latin, depending on who you are. But they can also just say normal things in Greek and it don't become a curse. It's not like the words of power in the Kane Chronicles, where 98% of the time when you say those words, you're doing the magic. Oh, they're more like the elf language, the language in Aragon, where you can just speak it normally, but also you can do magic with it, and you have to, like, want to do the magic with it. Whoa! Can't remember, like, it's like where the true names of things, and you do that language, and you speak in the true name language, you can speak in it, you can just have a normal conversation in it, but you can also perform magic in it, but it's a lot of the intent. You have to put intent behind the word for to do the magic, and I think that could be a similar thing that's happening with the curse thing, and you are doing magic, I had none of this is in my notes. I've just topped ahead this. And because I just said, not going to be able to work out why, I can give a good assumption. That is my good assumption right there, that they have to speak the language of their parent and they have to have intent behind the words. Why they can do the power? Because gods can. If gods can, demigods can. We also know that anyone can do mist manipulation if they try strong enough. And what is the mist but magic? So, like, Ares kids turning the weapons to rubber is so mist. Like, that is so the mist thing. Like, that is such a mist thing to do, you know? I think one of the things that you do kind of have to assume, though, about this is that these curses, they can't do everything because they aren't a Hazel. Well, they are also a sorceress and a demigod. These are just being normal demigods. They don't have any additional affinity to magic than their inherited power. So I think we see it with the Apollo and Ares kids because both their curses are related to their inherited power, or with the Apollo's kids being poetry and that being an Apollo thing, and the Ares kids being the arrows and weapons and that being an Ares thing. So, like, if they are linked, it's not... I think that's the thing. And so a curse comes from magic. Magic is complicated. And, yeah, so I think that's going to have to be the answer. And as they say, sometimes the most simplest explanation is often, like, the correct answer. So I think it is the kind of way we've gone, is that they say for a demigod to curse another living, and just perform a curse. For a demigod to perform a curse, one, the curse they are wanting to perform has to be within their inherited power set, basically linked to their godly parent in some way, some degree, some shape or form. Two, they must speak the language of their godly parent, i.e. ancient Greek for Greek gods, Latin for Roman gods, because, you know, we're covering all our bases here, baby. And number three is they have to have intent behind the words, like how magic words work in Aragon. Yes. Uh-huh. So they're the three things that must occur for... There we go. We did it. High five. I didn't think I was going to actually get there when I started recording this episode, but we did. High fives all around. Doosh, 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 doosh. High fives, my G's. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or things of your own that you want me to discuss, you can emails them through to 3.t.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow us on the Instagrams @2_mist. Make sure to follow the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, whatever you have to do to help get the podcast out there. I've been Owen. Come back next time. Jazz hands that time. Jazz hands.